Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everybody, and welcome back to season 4 of the Dead Parent Club podcast. I am Kat Hooker.
And I'm Emma Jones. And in this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the moment. Now, whether you thought about this moment or not ahead of it happening, the chances are it ended up being nothing like what you expected, really. That moment that we're talking about is the very moment that your parent died. And for this episode, we've brought Chloe Kemp back because she did a TikTok sketch on this and it was littered with humour, but actually it was very, very close to reality. It really stopped me in my tracks watching this video. So we are going to introduce Chloe and say hello to her shortly, but before that, if it's okay with you, we would just like to play out this piece of audio because there's a video to it, but I think the audio itself is really powerful and I think you as a listener are really going to resonate with this. So let's have a listen.
Take as long as you need.
Thank you. Mum, I'm not going to cry, so don't be expecting any tears, all right? Because I only sent my sister off. She already cried in the car park. It was embarrassing. She's an ugly crier. So I'm not risking it, Carol. All right. Came as quickly as I could. Obviously, that was too late. But you know me, I went the long way around. I went for the drive-through. Well, you got it, wouldn't you? All this over a kidney. Do you know what I mean? You've got two. So dramatic. At least we haven't got to worry about me trying to fit into your new smart car, Mum. Yeah, I know what you said. Actually, my sister told me. We love a fat joke. Thank you. I was like, going to Slim World and everything. But I ain't got to worry now. I'll eat my cream cakes in peace, Carol. On the way here, I was looking at my phone. I found that video of me and you when we accidentally got a bit drunk at Archie's party and Kitty said that we were an embarrassment. Such a proud day. Oh, you nearly wet yourself when you got out the car. I'm going to watch that back later. Mum, I can't believe you caved. I was literally just about to give you my kidney. I mean, you know me, I like to build the suspense, but you gave up quick. It was a joke. Of course I was going to give you my kidney. Well, I would have given you Keely's kidney, definitely. Do you know, my friend said that when her nan died, she looked so peaceful and beautiful, but I guess you're the exception. That's fine. Did you mean to die with your mouth open? The kids send their love. Teddy thinks heaven is temporary and that you'll be back. So, no, don't get up. I'll break it to him. You leave that one with me. Keely's going to come in now, Mum, and she's going to ruin this little vibe we've had going because, obviously, we're hilarious. And she's going to cry because, you know, she's going to really miss you. And so am I. But it's easier to joke, isn't it? So that's our way. But I'll miss you, Mum. A lot.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
How do you
feel listening to that, just like the pure audio of that?
I don't know. I can remember where my head was at when I filmed it. I think I was just thinking of, you know, like I joke a lot, but there's
there's that fine line, isn't there? Like, 1 minute we're joking, the next minute we're crying. And that's what I was thinking. So it takes me back to that kind of really like raw emotion of trying to mix the sadness with the laughter, but, you know, can be a bit challenging.
And you managed to condense that into, less than 4 minutes. And that was, to sum up that moment, you know, if I was going to describe it to anybody, I would just hand them that video and say, watch this and you will understand. And what you do so beautifully, Chloe, is you allow people to feel the pain and the humour. Yeah. You do. It's light and shade. And so much of what this podcast is about, isn't it, Kat?
It just makes it more accessible, I think. Don't get me wrong, like, well, it's like, kind of like the name of this podcast, I suppose. Like, people hear Dead Parent Club and think, oh, God. who the fuck calls the podcast that? But if you've experienced it, you understand it. Mm-hmm. And the same with that video. If you've experienced it, you're like, I resonate with that.
Mm. How did you feel, Chloe, in that moment when your mum had just died? How did you feel?
Do you know, I got the phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning that she'd passed away. And I was crying all the way to the hospital. I told my sister, and we hadn't been talking. We were sort of, you know what families are like. It was a bit difficult. We hadn't been talking very much. So I had to ring her up, which she wouldn't have been expecting my phone call. And I had to break the news to her. And then hearing her cry was just awful. Like, it was just heart-shattering to hear someone else's emotion. Mm. And all the way to the hospital, I was, you know, very... My emotions were out. I was very tearful, crying. I was talking to my husband and, you know, I was saying, like, this is the worst thing ever. I literally feel like I can hear the world around me crashing. Like, it was really intense. Mm. And then I got to the hospital and my sister was there before me. And they said, okay, your mum is in that room. When you're both ready, you know, you can head inside. And I fully prepared myself to go in and continue crying. Like, why not? This is our moment, isn't it? You know, like, if there's any time to get all your emotions out.
This is what the films tell me to do.
yeah, exactly. But I went in and then my sister just fell apart. Like, she burst into tears. Oh, and she just made it completely awkward, if I'm honest. Like, after
that, ruining it.
I just couldn't do it. When I saw her cry, I just couldn't do it. I like stopped. And instead I just started making jokes. And I'm irritated at myself a little bit as to why I did that. Because I wish I just let myself go and just have that moment. But I think it's the fear of seeing other people so upset. And it's like this need to lighten the atmosphere for them. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. And when you found out that your mum was dying, Chloe, had you ever thought about that moment? Had you ever thought about the moment she's going to die in advance of it actually happening?
I did so much. But then every time she had these near deaths, like, you know, the hospital would phone us and say she had a cardiac arrest and she's in intensive care, she's got pneumonia, all her levels are out of sync, she's really, really unwell, like, this could be it. I'd be, like, really emotional, bracing myself. I'd go down there, she just kept bouncing back. So, to be honest, in the end, I got it out of my head. I just thought, I think she's okay for now. I don't know when it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen at some point, but she's fine for now. And I just stopped thinking about it, which is weird because then when she did die, it made it really surprising. Even though I'd had this warm up for a couple of years, I was still really shocked when it actually happened.
Mm. Kind of like the boy who cried wolf. Everything, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
But what I think when we talk about death, the actual moment that, like it says in your video, like your life, your world just changes forever, Chloe. Mm. We don't really talk about that moment so much. Mm. And yet what's interesting to me is whenever I do a deep dive into my feelings, I actually go back to that hospital room and I remember this bizarre out-of-body experience, feeling as though it's kind of like shock kicks in. Well, it was for me anyway. Shock just kicked in and I didn't cry either, but it was just a feeling of everything felt so surreal. And I honestly think that can create an element of PTSD after the person has died. Have you found that?
Yeah, massively. So I think, as I say, I had all these intentions to be like completely like with my emotions and just let it roll. I thought that's got to be the healthiest thing. And then obviously, like I said, my sister fell apart. My nephew was there. He was only like 13. Mm. And it just made it really uncomfortable that I felt like I couldn't be in that situation to fall apart. But then also when I was looking at mum and she did actually die and her mouth was open a little bit. It was the weirdest thing. I was fully expecting a breath. Yeah. You know, when you stare at their chest so much and you're adamant you're going to see it rise and you don't. And it was just, I couldn't get my head around that. I was just like, so weird. I've never really seen somebody, you know, who's dead before. So it was a lot. And then I think I was just all overwhelmed that I just couldn't do what I think I needed to do. And then it all came out months later. Mm-hmm. And then I got really quite, like, poorly mentally, you know, because I think I just didn't know how to let it all out.
It's such a high pressure situation, I think, that nobody actually does prepare you for, because it literally is like the only experience we've got of it is seeing what we see on TV shows and TV programs and stuff like that, where it's all like the families are all in the room and they're talking and they're like, oh, I love you so much, I'm gonna miss you, and like, it's okay, you can take your last breath, and then they take the breath and then like it's all kind of deep and emotional for these conversations, when actually a lot of the time you're like panic mode, overwhelm, people aren't there for when it happens. People don't actually see the body at all because something happened in it, like a crash, or they live months away or whatever. Like, it's nothing like how we're taught it should be. Don't it reminds me a bit of childbirth? I think about it now and I'm like, I see all these things on TV about how it's going to be, and it's going to be absolutely nothing like that. I think we enter the world and we exit the world in very different ways to how they're portrayed in the media.
Do you know, I think as well, like, your fight or flight response kicks in that second, doesn't it? And because of the severity, you are in fight mode. But a few weeks later, by the time the funeral come round, I was full on flight mode. Like, did you guys find the funeral really hard?
For me, I can completely relate to what you said about what's really weird for me is when my mum was dying, I remember really normal weird stuff, like I was like, oh, that's the ice cream pot that she was eating earlier, that was an observation, like my mum's literally just died in front of me, and I was like, I wonder what that tasted like, and then I like put it in the bin, like, why would I do that? And I did really normal things and I was just like functioning as if she hadn't just died. Then in the build up to the funeral, I was still very high functioning, go, but then took one step down the aisle with my two brothers and like, that was me done. That was, it all just hit me in a wave. What about you, Kat?
My grandma slipped me a day as a pound on the day of the funeral.
Did she?
Legend. I think it didn't hit me. We did the creme first and then did like the celebration of life thing in the church after. The creme hadn't hit me yet, so I was in fucking bits. Gross. By the time we went to the church, I was like,
wow.
There is, it's just completely flat. I even went to the front and did a poem. I think in normal circumstances, that would not have had a chance in hell doing that. But
I did that, and all I remember thinking was, because I was crying, my nose was streaming, I had a really snotty nose, and in front of the whole church, I had to be like, excuse me, and turn around and blow my nose and turn back. And I was like, so embarrassed. And I was thinking, what am I doing? Like, why am I still doing these things that are normal when my mum's dead? What was your experience like of the funeral, Chloe?
Really difficult. I think because when I was talking to mum about her funeral and she was like, oh, I want a red lined coffin. I want Elvis all over it. I want these songs. Like, we were like laughing and joking. I was making notes and I was like, yeah, this is going to be epic. And then when it actually happened and she's not there, but her photograph is up there. Oh God, it was just, I don't know. It made me feel really quite sick, actually. It was just, How can we go from laughing about it and then it's here but she's not there, and like, it's only me laughing now. And I found it really hard. I actually left halfway through and I sat outside and just listened in because I felt like I was going to have an anxiety attack. It was a lot of pressure, and because mum didn't have like a big family anymore, like it was mostly like me and my sister, so a lot of people were like, are you okay, do you want a tissue, do you want to stand up? And there's just, I know they're all trying to help and they're all so lovely, but it was making me more overwhelmed. I didn't really know what to do, who to talk to. I was just like, and then they played the Bay City Rollers Bye Bye Baby and I was like, oh, I'm out.
And also there is something in that feeling eyes on you, I remember that very clearly. And you know how most of the time you think, oh, it's fine, no one else cares about what I'm doing. On that day, they really do. Mm. Everyone's yeah. looking at you because you're the kid of the dead person. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
and it kind of inflates it all. You're so hyper aware of yeah. everyone's watching me, and I'm really upset, and now I'm burying my mum, and it's yeah. it's absolute trauma.
It is trauma.
Yeah,
you know the like the script that you wrote for that sketch. Is it realistic of the conversation that you wish you had had if you were in there by yourself with her? Is that how you think you would have?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to say bits, but I just, you know what, it's such a blur. I don't know if you guys feel that now, but now when I look back, it's like, what, did I say anything nice? Or did I just take the piss?
It's very awkward and uncomfortable though, like trying to have your last words in front of other people. Mm. Like it's actually very socially awkward because you don't actually want other people to hear anything that you've got to say.
Exactly.
It's very, very private. Mm.
Very private. I didn't even want to say it in front of my sister. No. But the one thing I did want to do is I wanted to kiss her, like, on her forehead and hold her hand. And I don't think I even touched her. I was, like, this close. And I just knew that she was going to be, like, not obviously a body temperature, and that made me freak out. So instead, my husband, as I was walking out the door, I turned around and he held her hand and he whispered something and gave her a kiss on the forehead.
Oh,
I know. Lovely. And I was like, that's gross.
You've kissed a dead person.
Yeah.
I can relate to that though. See, and you feel really bad for it, don't you? But like, I remember, so I went to visit both my mum and my nana when they died, when they'd been like laid to rest and stuff. And my brothers, after the trauma of visiting my mum, were like, we are not going to see nana. But I couldn't let my granddad go on his own. So I agreed to go with him, and they'd stitched her mouth up to make her look like the Joker. Like, her mouth was shut and she looked like the Joker. No. And she was just all, like you say, she was cold. And my granddad was like, are you giving her a kiss? And I was like, no, granddad.
No,
I don't want to. And you feel so guilty because, it's of course, it's them. But, like, they're dead and they're cold. And I felt guilt for feeling that feeling of, I don't want to kiss you.
Yeah. But it's you know, it's them. But you're right, it doesn't quite look like it. And it's a little bit scary, I think.
I had really bad PTSD after watching my mum die. And it was every time I thought about my mum, it was that facial expression of her dead. And similar to yours, it was mouth open, eyes were still open. She was yellow. Other people around me were like, oh, she hasn't looked this peaceful in so long. And I was like, are you on crack? she looks terrifying. And every time I thought about her, I was like, oh, God, like horror film.
Yeah.
It's
not, I feel like there's an element of, like, you feel obligated to go and see them. But please, if you're listening to this and someone's asked you, do you want to go and see someone? Don't feel you have to, because you don't have to. I remember being like, where's my mum's feet? Where have they gone? Because she just looked really small in the coffin. And they'd put a cloth over her feet. And I was like, are her feet gammy? Or what's happened? Why have you covered them? But no one knew why. And I didn't lift up in case.
So did you have, like, an open casket or something at the funeral?
No, I went to see her in the Chapel of Rest, where she was. And it just, again, it didn't look like her. Like, they'd got what was almost a tablecloth, folded it and put it under a jumper, like, to puff her out. Maybe she'd sunk in. I don't know. I was like, and she looked really little. And it was not my mum how I remembered her. So please, if you are listening to this, I'm sure you'll agree with me.
I think we just put everybody off now, aren't we? Like, fuck it, don't go.
Go if you want, but prepare yourself. I think that's what I'd say.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Chloe, with your experience, what would you say to anybody that's listening to this who might have a parent who's terminally ill or knows that they're going to die? I know you can't fully prepare yourself for that moment, but do you have any advice for them?
It's really hard. And the advice I could give, they probably won't take because it's so hard to do. But I would say to try not to dwell on the fact that they're dying, because what you don't want to do is, and it is really hard, but you don't want to prepare yourself like every other day, because then you're going to constantly live in fear. Mm. And then it means that some of the nice moments where you should be relaxing and maybe having a little bit of a laugh with them and making any memories, you're plagued by all the concerns. So I would try, if you can, to put it to the back of your mind and just sort of live in that moment and don't stress. Like, you know it's coming, but don't keep looking at the clock waiting for it to come, because it will worsen those final weeks or months, I think. Because I did that for a while, and then when I was able to stop doing it, I look back now and I think actually the final months were really quite nice, because I wasn't waiting. I wasn't waiting for her to go. It was almost as if she wasn't going anywhere and we were just living a normal life. So if you can do that, I would definitely advise to try and live in the moment a little bit more and try not to clock watch, because I know it's scary and you want to, like, you know, count the days and count the minutes and, you know, kind of try and prepare yourself, but you can never be prepared. So just roll with it a little bit is what I'd say.
Mm. And I don't know about you two, but when my mum died and we went to see her at the hospital, and obviously my mum did die at the hospital, so if your parent died at home or whatever, it might be a bit different for you. Mm. We just kind of left. And I remember walking out crying, saying, like, thank you to the nurses. And then we left.
Thank you.
And ever since, I've always thought it's a very bizarre thing that you go into the hospital, say goodbye to your dead parent, then leave. And it's like, okay, we're going in to say goodbye. We've left, we've said goodbye, and she's dead now. And I feel like people need to know that there is no real, you might have different experiences than me, both of you, but there was nobody that grabbed me and said, this is what you do, or this is what you need to do, or not that I remember. Mm. It all just felt very like, okay, love you, bye, mum. And then we left her body there.
We opened a bottle of Prosecco.
In the hospital?
No, she was at home.
Oh, was she?
But she died. We left her in one room. We opened a bottle of Prosecco in the other. I don't know why.
No, I get that. What was it, like a celebration of her life?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know whether it was kind of a bit like, God, that's finished.
Yeah.
Like, it had been a really intense couple of days.
Mm.
And I think it was like, my dad doesn't, like, we're not really a drinking kind of family. It's not normal in our household to be like, crack open a bottle of Prosecco. Mm. But for some reason, like, I don't remember much, but I vividly remember drinking a glass of Prosecco and then the undertakers coming in and taking her out whilst we were in the kitchen having a sip.
So did the undertakers come straight away when they die at home then?
Pretty soon. Yeah, you call them and then...
In the middle of the night even, they could come?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, it didn't happen in the middle of the night for me, so I'm not sure.
What about you, Chloe? What was your experience at the hospital like?
Do you know what? It wasn't a great one, but... that's because they lost our contact details, mine and my sister's. So mum actually died at like 11:30 in the evening, but they didn't tell us till 2:00 in the evening. Yeah, and by the time we got there, they'd actually folded up all of her clothes, her boots and her bag. It was all outside the room, ready to go. And it was a little bit like she was late for checkout in a hotel. Yeah. Like, it felt
ever
a little
stayed
bit like...
stayed welcome now. I need the room.
It literally felt like that. And obviously... you know, she had been dead for a couple of hours or so. So it wasn't a great experience. And then I didn't know what to do afterwards. So Anissa, like, you had a Prosecco. It was like getting to 5:00 in the morning by the time we said our goodbyes, spoke to the doctors. And I just said to my sister, do you want to go sit around mum's house for a bit? And she was like, yeah. Like, there was no way we were going to go back home and just go back to sleep.
Yeah.
No. So I didn't know what to do. So we left the hospital and we just drove down to mum's. And we just sat in her living room talking for about an hour.
It's such a weird feeling. Like, I remember that. It was the middle of the night when my mum died. I think it was around 4 a.m. And, like, went home and then couldn't sleep. We all just sat in the living room talking. And then like my dad came around in the morning and I'd gone to bed to try and like put my head down for like half an hour, but I didn't. And it was just this hazy blur of a day, isn't it? It's, you feel so tired and exhausted, but the idea of being able to fall asleep is incomprehensible. You just can't, because you're constantly met with the idea that your parent is dead.
Yeah, it was actually, my mum actually died on bonfire night. So she died in the morning. I want to say it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. And then by the evening, you had freaking fireworks going off outside. I was just sat looking out the window like, what is my life?
Wow.
Like, this is bonkers.
And when you reflect on it, it feels like a real low, doesn't it? You know, when you actually think about that, if you could scoop you up then, you would, and just hold you, wouldn't you?
It's like an alternate reality, I think.
Like, yeah, it is.
Were we there? Did we live it? Unsure.
Yeah, it is. It's a very, very surreal moment. And like you said, Chloe, in that video, it really does change you forever, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, there's weird, it's really weird now what sets me off. Like, I worked out, because obviously mum passed away at 11:30 at night. And I worked out what I was doing at that time. I was watching a film with my husband. It was Between the Mountains or something, with Idris Elba, Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
It was a good film, but now if I see it advertised or like, you know, on telly, or I can't even, I will never watch that film again, because I just know that at some point during that film, mum passed away, and it just, it freaks me out. Really weird.
It is, but that actually isn't weird. I have things like that. Like, I remember my final memory of mum alive was she was lying in the hospital bed with the hospital TV in front of her, trying to adjust her headphones to watch Coronation Street. And that's such a bizarre thing for me. And I remember saying to her husband, oh, can you do it so that you can watch it too? So I always just associate Coronation Street with my mum. Like, I think that's really normal. Like, in your situation, those things, we remember them because that feeling is so intense that you think, oh my God, that's when that person, like, left this earth physically. That, how would you not feel weird about that film?
Yeah.
How do you feel like your mum dying has changed you as a person?
I think There is a bit of negativity. I think it has sparked off quite a bit of worry. I now do worry a lot about people around me now that I know how difficult that was. Because I never thought, I know it sounds ridiculous to say, but I never thought it would be as difficult as it actually was. I mean, it completely floors you. It's such a process, grief, and it can take such a long time. So now I think I worry a lot for other people, like my dad in particular. I worry about him a lot. And I know that's not a great way to live, and I'm always trying to talk myself out of that. But it has made me to be a little bit more of a worrier. But on the other hand, on the positive, it's made me think about taking more photos, trying to live in the moment a bit more. You know, like if I've had a bonus from work or something, I certainly don't think about buying £1,000 bag anymore. I think about, not like I've had £1,000 spent on a bag, but if I did, you know, I think more now, actually, family holiday, family day out. Like, I just want to like live more moments with the kids, you know, and just make those memories, because at the end of the day, they are literally all we're going to be left with.
Absolutely. What about you? How did it change you, like that moment?
God, what a question.
Good and bad.
Yeah, that, like, that specific moment, I guess it's just love is a big one, I think. Like, wanting to keep people close and be loved as well as love them, like, an obscenely large amount. Negatively, I think my mum dying definitely made me like an insecure people pleaser, where like her dying was like she was the one person that was the champion of me and everything that I did. And then when she was no longer there, it was like, how can I get people to give me attention and value me and tell me that I'm doing a good job, I would say. But it's weird, because I think it literally did happen kind of overnight, both of those things, really. Like, I had such an appreciation and love for my family that I never had before, but then had this huge, massive, insecure, gaping hole in the process.
Well, you lost your mum in that one time, so it actually does make sense, really.
Yeah.
I think for me, I in a similar way to like what both of you said, appreciate how finite life is and that we're not going to be here forever and that materialistic things don't matter. What matters is the time you spend and the love you give and the love you receive. And for me, my trigger is people phoning without warning.
Yeah.
If someone rings, I'm like, who's died? My dad now has to open sometimes. If he rings out of the blue,
Nothing's wrong.
Yeah, he does. He has to say, like, nothing's wrong. No one's died. Yeah. I cannot deal with it. That's something I'm trying to work on. Like, not every phone call is a death knock, but it's hard to get to that place, as I'm sure you can both agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Chloe, thank you, as always, for your humour and honesty. It is hugely, hugely appreciated. For anybody listening right now who might not already be following you, where have you been? But where can they find you? Because I live for your content. I'm going to be honest. I scope it out.
You are like Chloe's biggest fan.
I think you're amazing. I love your humour and how relatable you are, especially for me, because obviously we've both lost our parent.
Side note as well, you can actually listen to Chloe's like full story and more about her like time on TikTok and stuff and processing her grief in season 3, episode 14.
Well remembered.
Thank you very much.
So Chloe, where can we find you if we want to see more of you?
I'm Chloe Kent 89 on TikTok and I'm nearly at 400k. So if you want to follow me, that'll really help.
Yeah.
And
give the girl
Chloe
some love.
And Chloe underscore Ken on Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Chloe. You are an absolute gem of a human being.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. I love coming on.
Thank you. I'm going to go home and watch more of your videos now. So cheers, Chloe.
Bye, girl.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, as always, for joining us for the Dead Parent Club podcast. Thank you for allowing us to be so open and honest and vulnerable with you.
Yeah. And if you do want to reach out, then the platform we use most is Instagram, and you can find us at Dead Parent Club Podcast or drop us an email at hello@deadparentclub.co.uk.
See you next week.
See you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.